Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find your notes that you got when you walked in, they're tucked inside your bulletin there. We're in a series that we've entitled Devoted Prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart." This morning, I got one point. Just one thing I want you to get. One thing that Scripture teaches often that you and I need to understand about prayer. It is a key to prayer, but it is not often talked about. So we're going to talk about a determination to pray. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. "There was a judge in a certain city," he said, "who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, 'Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.' The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, 'I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy.'" We've been there before, haven't we? Well, some of it, never mind. "I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant request." The Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith?" So let's begin. First of all, the parable explained. The parable explained. Now, as you read this story, it's very important that you get what this parable is about. In fact, the writer is so concerned that he does something the scriptures rarely do. I mean, this doesn't happen hardly ever. He tells you at the beginning, this is what this parable is about. It's one of the very few parables that does this. It's not a parable that teaches us, if you pester God long enough, you'll get what you want. It's not a parable that says, you know, if you just pout and throw a fit, you'll get what you want. It is a parable about, and it tells us there, we should always pray and never give up. Don't read into this parable anything else, because that's what this parable is about, all of it. Pray and don't quit. Pray and don't give up. Okay, we can go home. You got it? Okay, but so he explains it from the very beginning. He just says, now, this isn't the only place this is taught. You go to the other Gospels when Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer, he immediately follows the Lord's Prayer up with, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on going at it. He tells another story about a friend who has somebody come visit them and late at night, and he doesn't have anything to feed him, so he goes next door to his neighbor, and, "Hey, I need some food, can you help me?" Neighbor goes, "Go away, I'm in bed, I don't want to come out, I'm already..." And he talks about how this guy gets what he wants just simply because he kept going at it. This is something that is taught often. Now, if Jesus teaches it more than once, more than twice, more than three times, it's kind of important, would you think? That it really matters, right? And so that's the explanation of this parable. So then the people that are described. Jesus often does this. He speaks in contrast. He goes to extremes when he tells these stories. There couldn't be a bigger contrast in people than the two people that he gives here. The widow would be at the very low end of society. She had no status whatsoever. She really had no right. She depended on other people for survival. They were the most defenseless people in Hebrew society. She couldn't afford to bribe the judge. She didn't have any influence or connections. All she had was a pathetic plea. She pleaded with him wherever she found him as he's going to work in the morning. as he sits at the city gate, which is where the judges congregated and people came to get their conflicts resolved and get advice and direction, talk about the legal aspects of things. When she saw him walking down the street, when she saw him at the market, as he is leaving his house, she pesters him to death. She was unrelenting. But there's one thing you need to know, and don't miss it. She wanted justice, not vengeance. There's a world of difference between the two. I want justice. I want you to do what's right. That's our definition of justice. You do what's right. She doesn't want vengeance. I want you to do this because I want this guy taken care of. I'm mad at what happened to me. I'm mad at what they did. I want you to get them. That's not her intent. So we have this lady, low-end society, who has no status whatsoever, no one to defend her, no one to take care of her, no resources to deal with this. She just is unrelenting. And then you have this judge, one of the most respected people in the communities. He'd be at the upper level of society. He was the one that everyone turned to so that disagreements could be resolved. His words carried weight. But notice something about him that's important to notice because it says it twice. It says he doesn't fear God or care about people. How would you like to have that guy deciding your cases? But that's the description of him. Not a nice guy. You know, that's the picture. This guy's, nobody wants to be around him. He's arrogant, probably. He just thinks, hey, I can do what I want to do. Pride. He just is there. And he finally just says, look, she's just wearing me out. She's pestering me to death. I just got to get rid of her. Now, in the original language, there's a boxing term that's used that the judge says. And it literally means, I got to get rid of her or she's going to blacken my eye. She's going to hurt my reputation. She's going to make me look bad. She landed so many body blows that she was exhausting him. And so now you have this story about contrast. Now, two people couldn't be more different. But at the same time, you and I couldn't be more unlike the widow. Because we have status, we're God's children. We're completely different. This judge couldn't be more unlike God. God cares about people. God understands. And so he tells this story, painting these contrasts. When he tells the story about the judge and black in the eye, people probably chuckled that were listening to it. They get it. They understand it. And he just goes on and tells them the story. And then we have the problem resolved. The problem resolved. Now, notice what it says. He doesn't care about justice. He doesn't care whether justice is served. He doesn't care whether things are made right. He just doesn't care about that. Why does he give justice? Just to get her off his back. She doesn't give up. She doesn't quit. She's wearing me out. But in the end, notice what it says. He rendered a just decision in the end. So the story, as is often with Jesus' stories, is a kind of, if this is so, then this is so much more. That's kind of how Jesus told stories. And Jesus is saying, if the most powerless widow you could imagine, who is at the very bottom of the world's pecking order, can get her case heard by a crooked judge who doesn't care, won't your heavenly Father listen to you? See the contrast? If that's the way that is, how much more God cares about you? You see, prayer is not about changing the mind of God, but opening our hearts to the will of God. It's not getting our way. It's getting us to see things God's way. And Jesus says, look, if this story is true, then how much more when you come to me and I care about you and I love you and you're my child, how much more will I listen to you and take care of things? Wow. Great story. But he does something here at the end of the story that to his listeners, he's wanting an answer. He doesn't just tell the story, walk away. He leaves them with some questions. In fact, when you read it, he gives them three questions. Three questions that he wants in them, and it's the proposed questions. Here's what I want you to answer. If you listen to this and understand it, I'm telling you this so that you won't give up. I'm telling this so you'll keep praying. But here's the questions you have to answer. Verses 7 and 8. Don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Don't you think so? Yeah. Will he keep putting them off? And then he answers it. I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. He will give them justice. He will do what is right. He will make everything work out. Now, there's one little word here that you and I struggle with that we have to get right. And that's this word, quickly. Quickly does not mean immediately. And then you have this verse that you wish wasn't in the Bible. One day with the Lord is like a thousand. What's quickly in that aspect? Right? And so we tend to interpret this through our eyes and through our understanding. Well, he said quickly. He said, if I pray quickly, he'll do it. How many of you have learned over the course of time that God usually doesn't answer all your prayers quickly? Not as we think of quickly. It simply means this. When God acts, it will be swift. When God acts, it'll be done. When God does something, it's done immediately. And so you and I have to understand, does God care? Will God give us justice? Yes, he will. You know, one day God's going to make everything right. Will he keep putting you off? No, he won't. He says, I'll grant you justice. And when it happens, it's going to be quick. I'll take care of this. So the story's about what? Okay, go back to the very beginning and let's start again. The story is about keep praying and don't give up. And God says, I hear your prayer. I care about you. I'm not like the unjust judge. I'm not somebody who doesn't care about justice. I care about it, and I'll guarantee you this. I will give you justice. I will take care of things, and I will make it happen quickly. That's what he tells us. Then there's another question that really bites at us. But when the Son of Man returns, when justice is coming, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Here's what he's saying. If you quit praying for what you want and what you need, you have lost faith. You have given up. You've quit. And when he comes back, will he find people who are still praying? That's what the story's about, right? That's the issue, isn't it? You keep praying because we know God's at work and he's going to do what's right. He's going to be just, right? Prayer is always an issue of faith. Do I believe that I have nowhere else to go? Do I believe that God can meet my needs? Do I believe God cares about me and wants what's best for me? Do I trust God with my life? Do I want God's will more than mine? Do I believe that God will do what is right, that what is fair, what is just? Do I really believe all of that about God? Because if I do, I'll never stop praying. You see, continual prayer until Jesus comes is not only the evidence of faith, it's also a means by which you build your faith. Why do I pray? Because I believe God hears me, and I believe God's going to do what's right, and God can take care of what I have need of, and God cares. And you know something? That never changes, does it? Then why do we stop? Prayer is based on our faith in God. We pray because we believe God, our Father, is real and ready to respond to his children, and we have faith in him, and therefore we never give up. With me? Okay. So, let's talk about the persistence in prayer. What do I do when my prayers aren't being answered? I've prayed, I've asked God, I'm not getting anywhere, it doesn't seem like anything's happening. How long do I keep doing this? Well, you keep praying until. I'm going to give you three things. You keep praying until, number one, you get an answer. That's obvious. We have the answer. We can stop praying. We've given you a little journal this morning. It's got a little prayer guide card in the inside. You know, maybe you pray about something, put the date down or something about it as a little reminder for you, and you just put it there, and maybe every day you just look at it and you go down the list and you just keep praying. You don't do it by rote. You don't do it, okay, here's the shopping list, God, blah, 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 blah. It's just a reminder to you, don't stop praying about this. Keep trusting God for this. Keep believing God for this. And when he gives you an answer, write a little date aside. That's done. Okay, good. I'll pray until I get an answer. Secondly, you pray until you get assurance. Assurance that God has heard you and his prayer is on its, and the answer to your prayer is on its way. There's been times in my life when I've been praying for something and I've just had this peace about things and knowing, okay, God, I sense you've heard this and it's going to happen. I'm just going to start thanking you for it. Now, it doesn't happen immediately all the time, but it does happen down the road. And so as long as I'm waiting for it to happen, when I have that assurance, I can just thank God, praise God for what he's doing and what he's going to do. Because how many of you understand that your answer to prayer many times doesn't involve just you? That sometimes God has to work on some other people. And you know how other people are. They're not as moldable as you. They're not as sensitive as you. They're not as willing to quickly respond as you are. You know what they're like, don't you? And sometimes he's having to work on them. But God gives you just a piece about it. Okay, God's heard this, and I know it. I'll thank you. I'll praise you until I see it. So until you get an answer, until you get assurance, and I'm choosing this word because I want to, until you get annoyed. And when do you get annoyed? You're praying, and as you're praying, you know that something's not right. You know, that perhaps what you're asking for isn't what God wants you to ask for. Perhaps you need to pray in a different way. You have a sense that God is in the process of perhaps telling you no. You're in the sense of God saying, look, okay, I care about this. Let's say, God, you know what? I need you to help me with my finances. Would you just provide me the resources to do this? Would you just do this? God, I need you to give me some money. God, I need this to happen. I need this to happen. And maybe as you're praying, you just get annoyed, because if you could hear God, he'd say, look, I want to do that for you, but until I do, you and I need to work on your management. That's annoying, isn't it? But sometimes that's how God works, isn't it? God, give me this now. See, we always think we're ready for something. One of your grandkids comes to you and says, Papa, can I drive the car? Not now. Well, when? Well, you're only 8. But I'm ready. I know what I'm doing. I can do this. No, you can't. Yeah, I can. I can't. Does that sound, you ever had that conversation with God like that? I'm ready, God. Come on. And goes, no, not yet. No. And you get annoyed with it. And many times we stop praying just simply because we don't like what God is doing and what God is saying to us. And so we just back off. Because we don't like the answer. We don't want that answer. And God begins to show you that what you're praying for is not what he wants. You see, God's never late, and God's never early. And God answers all of your prayers in one of four ways. When you ask for something and it's not right, God says no. When you pray and you're not right, God says grow. When you pray and the timing's not right, God says slow. And when everything is in place, God says go. But you see, we don't like that. Because here's the deal. Most of us got more faith in our water faucets than we do in God. This morning, you woke up, and let's say you walked to the shower and turned it on. Did you immediately jump in that shower? No. No. You turned it on knowing that hot water's coming. And you waited, and you waited, and you waited, and you're thinking your hot water's coming from 2 blocks down the street, but you know it's coming. And you waited, and you waited, you knew it was going to be there. You've got more faith in that hot water coming than you do in God. Because sometimes you turn on the prayer faucet and you start to pray. God, come on, make it hot. God, come on, come on, it should be hot by now. God, come on. It's never going to get hot, why bother? You see, you just have to keep praying. Well, but, you know, doesn't God get tired of me asking? The answer is no. How can he get tired of you asking when several times in Scripture he tells you to keep asking? Right? And yet we'll have people, we do prayer time, people come for, well, I hate coming, I've come up here all the time, well, okay, so you have no faith anymore. Is that what you're saying? And you see, we give up, we quit, we get impatient, we don't like it, it's not moving in the way we think that it should, and so we just stop. Or, you know, maybe I don't stop, but okay, well, it's not happening, so, yeah, I'll keep praying for it. Maybe once a week I'll bring it up, or maybe now and then I'll let God know it's still on my mind. But, you know, I've prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing's happened. I just think that's just, you know, must be what God wants, and God doesn't want to do it. And, you know, well, is he giving you an answer? Well, no, but I just, you know, surely he's tired of me coming to him. Surely he doesn't want me to keep bugging him. Surely he... Have you read your Bible recently? He says, when he comes back, are people still going to have enough faith that they're still praying for things? That's a great question, isn't it? That's a poignant question to you and I, isn't it? Am I going to have enough faith to not stop because I believe God's able to do far beyond what I can imagine? That I believe God cares about what's happening in my life, and that God wants justice and wants what's right just as much as I do? Am I going to believe that? And if I'm going to believe that, then how can I stop praying? And so you and I have to be persistent in our prayers. We just have to keep going. We just have to keep praying. We just have to keep asking. So there's three things that you just have to do. Three things that become critical in your prayer life. Number one, depend on God. You see, sometimes we quit praying and we start doing it ourselves. Sometimes we start depending on something else to take care of us. You know, I remember once I made a decision. God wasn't moving fast enough for me, and I made a financial decision that I should have never made. And it was made simply because I just got tired of waiting. And I stopped depending on God, and I depended on me. Didn't work out well. But I couldn't blame God for it. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Well, I just don't understand why God, you're right, you don't need to. You just understand God. Well, I just don't know why. You're right, you don't. So don't try to figure it out. You just put your faith in God. You just depend on him. You don't depend on what you're thinking, how you're reading. Well, I know how this could work out, and if God would just do this and do this, and if I could just walk into the store and win a little scratch off, you know, it would be just wonderful, and God could just miraculously. You're right, but you depend on God. You depend on him. That's faith, isn't it? I keep asking. Why? Because he's the only answer I've got. He's the only one who can really help me. So are you depending on him above everything else? Now, please hear me. If you're depending on him, you're still praying and asking. The moment you quit asking, you've stopped depending. Second, don't get discouraged. What's the use? Why go on? It's never going to happen. Why bother? You throw in the towel, you quit. I've been asking for this long enough. Something should have happened by now. I don't know why God isn't doing this. You're right, you don't. But you keep praying. You encourage yourself. David understood this. This verse is repeated 2 or 3, 4 times throughout Psalms. The writer writes at Psalm 42:11. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. That's why in that little card we handed out about the Lord's Prayer, how does that begin? It begins with you understanding who you are with God. He's your Father. He cares about you. He knows what's going on. He understands you. He loves you. And you've got to know that, that he always has your best interest at heart. And how many of you understand sometimes that your best interest isn't always what you want, is it? And don't get discouraged because it's not happening fast enough, because it's not working out the way you think it should. God is just. God will do what is right. His ways are not mine. And I don't understand it. Put my hope in God and praise him. Tell him how grateful you are. Tell him how great he is. Don't get discouraged. Thirdly, stay devoted. The title of the series, Stay Devoted. God, you're my resource. God, you're the one I'm turning to. Lord, you're my hope. Lord, you're the one that I'm leaning on. Notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 86, bend down, O Lord, hear my prayer, answer me. I need your help. Protect me. I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and trust you. You are my God. Be merciful to me, O Lord. Don't miss this. I am calling on you constantly. Constantly. Why? Because we live here on this earth and we need God's help. Because you and I face things that don't make sense and are beyond our pay grade. God, I'm going to depend on you. I'm not going to get discouraged. And I'm going to stay devoted knowing I can trust you. I will put my faith in you. George Mueller was a Christian evangelist and director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England. He cared for over 10,000 orphans in his life. He was well known for providing an education to the children under his care. He also established 117 schools which offered Christian education to over 120,000 children, many of them being orphans, and he never once asked anybody for anything. He just prayed and believed God would provide. In 1844, when Miller was 39 years old, he committed himself to pray for the conversion of 5 men that he knew. And according to his journals, he prayed every day without a single intermission, whether sick or in health, on land or at sea. Every day. After 18 months, one of those men accepted Christ. Miller thanked God, checked the box, crossed him off the list, and kept praying. 5 years later, the next man was converted. And 6 years after that, the third man gave his life to Christ. Miller kept praying for the final two, but they remained unconverted. And when he died at the age of 93, he had been praying for them more than 52 years, seemingly without result. But at his funeral, one of those men gave his life to Christ. And 3 months later, the fifth one did. Don't quit. Don't give up. When the Lord returns, will he find faith? Is there some dream that you have that you've kind of given up on? Is there some promise that maybe you need to reclaim? Is there a miracle that maybe you need to begin believing for again? Is there people that you're praying for that you've gotten a little discouraged about because it doesn't seem like anything's happening? And the reason we give up too soon is because we feel like we failed if God doesn't do immediately what we want him to do. That isn't failure. The only failure you can have is if you stop praying. When you don't think you have a prayer, pray. And Jesus tells a story for one single purpose. You should pray and never give up. Are you doing that? If not, you're not a person of faith. He's looking for faith. People who just keep praying, no matter what.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.